It's hard, but I know that she's in a better place and I want her back. But my family was really overwhelmed. Even family cannot tell how well the church was able to support us through this difficult time. And my biggest one thank you, Mom, loved each and every one of you. She loved the church, she loved the pastor. So I just want to thank everybody.
Amen. God bless you, Miss Cassie. We love you too, and we know that your mother loved the church. And again, it's a blessing to be here this morning, and being the first Sunday of the new year, chapter one. And I thought that was good to approach the first Sunday of the new year. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the New Testament, book of Mark. Mark chapter number 10 this morning. Book of Mark, chapter number 10. Gospel of Mark, chapter number 10. And I want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin reading out of verse number 46. Father God, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. And Lord, we're coming before you one more time before we get busy in the scriptures. Lord, we know that your word is alive. This is the word of God. Quick and sharp and more so powerful. I pray, Lord, in the next few moments that you would speak to the hearts of your people. I pray that we would be encouraged from your word today, that we might start out the new year where we need to be with you. Father, we just commit the whole year to you right now on this first Sunday. And Lord, we're not going to limit you as Israel did by their unbelief. But Lord, we are trusting you. We are asking you to work in mighty, mighty ways here at Calvary. We love you, we thank you, we praise you. Meet with us now, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Gospel of Mark this morning. Notice, if you would, in verse number 46. Mark 10, verse 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' And the blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.'" And then in verse number 52, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and follow Jesus in the way." I want to stop there. This is the account of blind Bartimaeus, and I'm sure if not everyone here has heard this story before at some point in time or the other in church. But we have a story here of a man named Bartimaeus who really wanted to change. He wanted a change in his life to occur. And he was blind, as the scriptures say, and he wanted to see. And blind Bartimaeus spent his days begging. Don't turn there, but in the book of Matthew, chapter number 20, tells us that blind Bartimaeus had another person that was with him that was blind. And so here are two blind men accompanying one another in their misery. They want a change, or at least we see that Bartimaeus wanted to change. And as the story goes, we find that they were begging men. They begged. Probably they were begging for alms. They were begging for money so that they might eat and merely get through the day. In the book of Acts, there's another man who was handicapped. He was lame, and he sat at the gate called Beautiful at the temple every day, and he had his cup out asking for alms. He was begging. Yet the change that he received, the literal change, the coins, the money, was not the real change that he needed. And here, when it comes to Bartimaeus, he wanted to change. And the alms was there just to get him through the day. Money and food. And so here sits blind Bartimaeus with his company. And he's covered with his cloak, his coat, in survival mode. And the other blind men, they're there together in their miserable situation. They wanted to change. And this morning, many times in life, we may find ourselves in the same situation as Bartimaeus, just merely making it through the day. And because misery loves company, there's the potential there to drag others down with us. Sometimes in life, we are like blind Bartimaeus. We indulge. We can indulge, if we're not careful, in instant gratifications, trying to change our situation or at least get a break from it. But that's not really the change that we need. You see, it didn't matter every day of the money that Bartimaeus received, the alms, whatever it was he was begging for. That wasn't the root problem, the kind of change that he really needed. So he wanted a changed life. Bartimaeus wanted to be able to see. And as the story would have it, Jesus was passing by. Jesus was passing by, and Bartimaeus wanted a change. I want to preach this morning for a few moments on this subject, how to change your life. How to change your life. Again, there may be some here on this very first Sunday of the new year who wanted to put some things behind in 2019 and who wanted to get into 2020 with a fresh and clean slate. We said it before, we'll say it again, that we know that God's mercies are new every day. Every day is a new opportunity. But maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you are like blind Bartimaeus. I mean, you're not physically blind, but there's some hang-ups. Maybe there's some hurts or some habits that are in your life causing you not to move forward. Well, Jesus was passing by here, and Bartimaeus wanted to change. I want to say something about change. The change when it comes to salvation is instantly. The person who receives Jesus and asks him for salvation, instantly your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Instantly your sins are forgiven. But when it comes to a changed lifestyle, sometimes these changes occur little by little. But Like the old saying goes, slow and steady wins the race. Someone said one time, you can eat a whole elephant one bite at a time. And while there may be some here that know they're saved, yet there may be some things you're battling with that you just want them to go from your life, I want to say to take heart this morning, and your life can change. And sometimes it's in little drips. But let's be reminded that when it starts to rain, it's those raindrops that creates little streams and turns into a flood. And it's the slow and steady mentality. It's the little bite, eat a whole elephant kind of mentality where real change happens. Sometimes people change and it's almost like a turning over a new leaf. There is, and really in the beginning of the new year, even the Ron Gann on Fox 5 News said, yeah, I'm in the gym. And about this time every year, there's new folks. And they last for about a week or two and they're gone. You know, because real commitment sets in. And the same with even churches and church attendance, that many people want to do the right thing and go to church and do right. But after a little while, that commitment starts to fade away and disassemble itself. Well, I want to say that we all can change. Every person in this room, everybody who may be listening online, your life can change. And so we see from the story here of Bartimaeus that his life changed. So how did it happen? What took place? Let me say that first of all, this story can picture salvation and how that Bartimaeus was blind and then Jesus touched him, at least at his words, thy faith hath made thee whole, and he could see. But also in this story, we see that it has to do with changing in life. It can be a change, of course, a change of action. Those habits or hurts or hang-ups can change. A couple different ways you can look at it. Number one, I want you to notice, when it comes to this subject of how to change your life, looking at blind Bartimaeus, number one, in verse number 47, we see a passing opportunity. Now, Jesus was passing by. He and his disciples were coming from the coast of Judea on their way to Jerusalem. This was a passing opportunity. In fact, in verse number 32 through verse number 34, we see how Jesus spoke to his disciples about his coming death and his resurrection. Notice, if you would, in verse number 32. And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. He shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. And so they're moving locations. They're coming from one area to another area on their way to Jerusalem, and they're passing by. I mean, they're just passing by Jericho. And Jesus is talking to his 12, and he's saying, guys, you know, I've told you for the amount of years we've been together that I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to bleed, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried on the third day, rise again. They know that. And so now they're passing through Jericho, the Bible says in verse number 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And so now they are passing through and going beyond Jericho even. But here's blind Bartimaeus. And I want you to notice something, that Jesus passes by the very location where blind Bartimaeus was. But also I want you to notice that Bartimaeus could be thinking And it actually indicates, based solely upon how many times he cries out for help, that Bartimaeus is thinking, well, this could be the very last time that Jesus passes this way. In verse number 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so there's this passing opportunity. Jesus is slowly and surely making his way to the cross. He goes in Jericho and he's leaving Jericho. And on the wayside there was Bartimaeus and the other fella. And they were begging day in and day out in their situation, begging, wanting alms, wanting sustenance, wanting necessary food so that they might be able to make it through the day. But I want you to notice how Bartimaeus addresses Jesus. Because he wasn't wanting money from him. In verse number 47, he says, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, notice this, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And we see here, this is plenty indication that Bartimaeus is reckoning Jesus. He has heard of Jesus. He's heard of the Messiah, the Son of David coming. And he knew he was passing by. He knew he had the ability to heal him. And as in this passing moment, he cries out, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. I want to say this morning that we serve a God who is ever present. He is even here this morning. He's passing by this morning. Isaiah 55, 6 says this. Call on him while he is near. Genesis 6, 3 says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Genesis 7, verse number 16 says that the door of the ark was shut. Meaning there was an allotted time where the ark door, it was open. All are welcome to enter the ark. And Noah said, enter into the ark. But there came a point in time where Jesus was done communicating that way. The door of the ark had to be closed so that the dispensation of time would change. That was it. The door was shut. And everybody was shut out who did not enter the ark. The same way even now, 2020, Jesus is passing by. We're living in the dispensation time period, that of grace, that of the local church. When there's church services taking place this morning and tonight and on Wednesday and revivals and all kinds of church functions and fellowships, God's gospel is being presented. Jesus is passing by. But there's going to become a time, and we don't know when that time is. It's going to be a fast time. Right now it's a prophetic time. It's been prophesied that the Lord will come and split the eastern skies and those that belong to him will be caught up. And then the great tribulation will take place. 7 years of literal H-E double hockey stick. A literal time. And Bartimaeus knew that. He knew the Messiah. He heard about the Messiah. He trusted him as the Messiah, evidently, because he said, Jesus, thou son of David. He didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, Messiah, the one who's going to the cross, the one that can do all things, the God-man, God in flesh. He was passing by, and Bartimaeus knew that in his misery, in his begging, in his chaos, wanted a touch from God. And friend, I want to say that he did get a touch from God. But even this morning, you may not be able to see him, but there's the effects of him here. When the gospel has free course, when people respond to the altar, when there's praises going up, and when people are given testimonies of God's goodness, that is the effects of him. For we are the body of Christ. Jesus is passing by. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your life to change this morning? You may be here and you may not know Jesus personally. Hey, I mean, you understand, you've heard the stories mentally, but you never had said yes to Jesus. There never has been a marriage. There never has been a time where you said, I do. Those of us that are married, there was the marriage. And at that marriage day, you stood there before your spouse, and for better or for worse, sickness, health, poverty, abounding riches, whatever the... I got to go back and read them things. This wasn't in my notes. I do. And then it's her turn. Oh, yeah, yes, yes. I do, or I will. You are promising. You are, and then two have become one. And they spend their lives actually showing that and portraying that to actually what happened on that marriage day. Two did become one. It's no longer this one or that one. It's one flesh. So we're to consider one another in marriage. But you may be here this morning, and there may have never been a marriage day between you and the Lord. You may have never said, I do to Him. And maybe because of the things happening in your life, and you're miserable. There's no contentment. There's no joy. There's no peace. You feel like you have no purpose in life. All of those things could be, and I will say are, because you don't know Christ. The moment a person trusts Jesus as Savior and says, I do to Him, enters into this covenant which is based solely upon Him and His blood, His new covenant. There's nothing we can do to get out of this marriage. There's nothing that we can do that He will divorce from us. We belong to Him. And then He gives us purpose. He gives us power and energy to do His good will. So you may be here this morning. You may be in a very, very miserable state. And it may be because you don't know Christ. Or you may be here this morning and you know Christ. You know you're going to heaven when you die. You know that based upon what He did for you. But there's some things that you've carried over from 2019 to 2020. You already went to a New Year's Eve service. You stayed up late on New Year's Eve night. You watched, you know, the ball drop from New York since it's not in Georgia anymore. And here you are. It's still here. That's why it's a blessing that every day the Lord's mercies are new. Every day is a new beginning. We don't have to wait on January 1st to start a new beginning. We can have a new beginning today. We can have a new beginning tomorrow. We can have a new beginning next week. Every day is a new beginning. But what about it this morning? What about those struggles you have? Isn't it time to stop begging and start calling on God for help? Amen. Come to Him this morning. Whatever your situation may be, you're not saved. Come to Him for salvation. You are saved, but you're struggling. Come to Him. Don't care what anybody thinks when you come to the altar. That's between you and Jesus, and you need to come and do business with Him. We see that it was a passing opportunity. Notice something else. Not only in this story we see a passing opportunity, but we see a persistent cry. In verse number 48, a persistent cry. While Bartimaeus tried to reach Jesus' ear, there were people trying, get this, they were trying to stop him. Look at verse number 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But the Bible says, but he cried the more a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. We see here that Bartimaeus not only was in a situation that was passing him by, he only had a limited time to do business with God, but he had a persistent cry. Now he shouted out for the Lord. In the previous verse, we see that in verse number 47. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That was one time. But then in verse 48, there were some obstacles in the way of his cry. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Stop, Bartimaeus. This is Jesus, the popular guy. You know, he's in a hurry, Bartimaeus. Slow your speech. Quit acting crazy and screaming and yelling for help. He's on the move. They tried, they charged him that he should hold his peace. I'm reminded that our cry to the Lord when we are seeking real change must be a persistent cry. The kind of change you need may not come at the first time you dedicate yourself. You're already a believer, but you say, Lord, here it is, 2019, the ball has fallen. And Lord, I want to dedicate, and here it is, 2020. You fell again. Listen, we ought not to just give it one launch and quit. Don't just give it one try to change, but go again. Try again. You fell this afternoon, try again. You fell another time, try again. Monday comes around and you're already fault. Try again. Keep going back. Because we know that real change occurs little by little, dealing with problems, dealing with emotions, dealing with situations. And these can be mental problems in our heads and in our hearts, emotional problems, emotional struggles. And sometimes those are the worst struggles. And so sometimes there's things that get in the way, and our approach has to be all in, but little by little. It's a marathon, not a sprint, church. You know that. But we see that when Bartimaeus began to cry a second time, that many charged him. Sometimes our flesh will try to interfere of dedicating our lives. Sometimes our flesh will interfere. Sometimes the world will try to interfere with our resolve to Jesus. Sometimes the devil will try to interfere. And sometimes family and friends will try to interfere. You know, there was a part where Jesus had to tell Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm not telling you to forsake your family, but you might have to forsake some friends." And so sometimes when we're going after God and we want things to be different, we need to have a persistent cry. Somebody said one time, "Well, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I'm setting myself up for failure." Well, all that sounds like to me is a quitter. And what I have is resolve. Resolutions, whatever you want to call it. Hey, I'll take any kind of access point I can get. New year, all right, I want to get excited about it. Oh, I don't make New Year's resolutions because you're just setting yourself up for failure. So basically what you're saying is you don't want to try anymore.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're going through the motions. No, that ain't how it should be. But when we do set some kind of resolve in our life and we want to go after God, we want stronger families, we want to be a stronger spouse, we want to go to church more consistently, then get ready because struggles will happen to try to interfere that. Sometimes it's the flesh, sometimes it's the world, the devil, sometimes it's family, and sometimes it's friends. There was maybe Genesis 15, but there was a section there where Abraham would lay the sacrifice down and the buzzards came down to try to steal the sacrifice. I believe it's Genesis 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. And the Bible says that Abraham drove them away. Every time he'd present the sacrifice on the altar and thank you. By the way, when I get really hungry, that's how I sound. I can do impressions, kinda, you know. That bird would come down and see that flesh and would wait till Abraham would turn away from it. Ah! Steal it. Every time. He created an altar and laid the sacrifice down. Abraham gave it to God, dedicated it to God, and would walk away in no time at all. Here would come one of them buzzards, one of them ravens. Bah! Just hitting that altar, stealing that sacrifice. It's no different than today. It's no different than when we come to God. We're tired of being miserable. We want change in our life. Maybe we're not miserable. We just want a few things to be better this year. Well, guess what? It may not happen the first attempt, but keep laying that sacrifice down. There may be some old buzzards out there trying to steal what you've dedicated to God, and you've no sooner turned your back and there's that knife in the back. Guess what? You lay that sacrifice down one more time. Because it's consistency, slow and steady wins the race. You can eat an elephant one bite at a time. Of course, that's man's wisdom, those last two sayings. A persistent cry. Look, if you would, we're in Mark. Look over in Luke 18 for a moment, if you would. In Luke 18, we have a lesson on prayer. And in verse number 1, the word parable is used, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But he's teaching us a lesson on prayer by being consistent, going after the change you need that you know God wants in your life. He says in Luke 18, verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Don't give up on that change, is what he's saying. "Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded him. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Look at verse number 6. "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?" And then in verse number 8, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" We can glean from this story that persistence pays in prayer. Persistence pays. Now this parable, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, has to do with a widow who needed a vengeance. I don't know, may have been tax purposes, some kind of money that she was short. I don't know, maybe she was wronged and the people were wrong and she was right. I don't know, but she knocked. "I need help." She knocked again. "I need help." And so the Bible says in verse number 4, she was knocking on the door of the judge, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, because this widow day in and day out, please help me, I need help, I need help." Nobody comes. "I'm in a situation. I need help, judge. I need help." Nobody answers. She is continually coming. There is something on the inside of her that knows if she gets his attention, he will help her. She was not wrong in this matter. She has some adversaries of some kind. She needs someone to come in and justify her. She needs someone to avenge her. And so she's knocking. She's knocking, and we see that persistence pays. Because it says in verse number 5, "Yet because this widow troubleth me, constantly coming after me, constantly knocking, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me." Now this unjust judge is saying, "I'm not going to get no sleep unless I do something about this. So I'm going to open the door, see what the need is, and take care of it." Now this can be our story. Because the Lord says in verse number 6, "And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith." Here we have an unjust judge. After her continual coming, he answered for her. We have a just judge that we can come to, that wants us to come to him. There's a standing invitation day in and day out. The throne room of grace where he wants us to come unto him. All are heavy laden and that need rest. If there's an unjust judge who vindicates a person who is unjust and doesn't know God, how much rather would God, our Father, vindicate us and provide for us? Listen, it's all about persistence this morning. You want your life to change, be persistent. Keep going again. Knock on the doors of heaven. Lord, I need your help. I need your touch. Talking about how to have a changed life. Bartimaeus was persistent. Although there were those who tried to stop him. Notice one more thing back in our verses in the book of Mark. In verse number 49, something very profound happens. The Bible says in verse number 49, after Bartimaeus cried the second time, and he cried louder in spite of those who got in his way, verse number 49 says, and Jesus stood still. This got the attention of Jesus. And I want to tell you what got his attention. When Bartimaeus first cried out, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, this connecting him to his messiahship, said, have mercy on me. And in verse number 48, he says the same thing again. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And then in verse 49, and Jesus stood still. We know the rest of the story. He commanded him to be called, and the Bible says in verse number 49, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, the blind man, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Verse number 51 and 52 record the miracle happening. Why did Jesus stand still? I'll tell you why Jesus stood still here. Though the noise of the crowd and multitude of people took notice of Bartimaeus, Jesus, although the crowd was big and noisy, Jesus took notice of Bartimaeus because he asked him to have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was literally saying, I don't deserve you coming to me. I'm blind. I recognize your messiahship. I know you're on an eternal errand here, and you're going to the cross, and I know you're the Messiah. I know you can do miracles and all of these things, but Lord, have mercy. I don't deserve it. But Lord, from a very broken and humble heart, I'm asking you to have mercy on me. And that's how Jesus and why Jesus stood still, because he responded to the call of mercy. Anytime, anybody, Lord, have mercy on me. And there's the account also in Luke 18, verse number 13. The Pharisee and the publican said, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Lamentations 3, verse number 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. Listen, you want your life to change. You have to cry out to God for mercy. That's the only way he'll respond to you. And if we're going to cry out for mercy, that means there has to be a bowing of the knee to self. There has to be a getting low. There has to be that erecting of an altar, our life as the sacrifice, the living sacrifice. There has to be that time we say, Lord, I want my life to change. Lord, I cannot change my life. Lord, I've tried. And Lord, I made New Year's resolutions and all of that. But here it is, the first Sunday of the new year. And Lord, I am at a very lowly place again. Lord, no more pride. No more self-life. I can't do it. Lord, please change me. Have mercy. He responds to mercy. Jesus does. His mercies are new. He came because of the judgment that was upon man. He opened up a new and living way. We have a place to run to this morning for the mercy of God. And so the Bible says that he stood still. As they come this morning, I want to ask a question to all of us. Are you satisfied with where you're at right now in life? And listen, it's okay to feel that you've worked hard to get where you're at. You know, that's okay, and we give credit to God for giving us strength, but maybe there's some other things that you want changed. Big things, little things. The point I'm trying to make this morning is simply this, that Bartimaeus couldn't change without the mercy of God. And if you want that change of whatever sort this morning, I urge you to come, because this is a passing moment. And Jesus is here. He wants to extend mercy. if you need it. Father, we thank you, we love you, we praise you for who you are, for what you do, Lord. In the next few moments, I pray you will work in ways that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. The altar is open, invitations given. You come if you need to come. On the very first verse, would you do so?
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Anybody else? Don't put it off.